40 years, God is good. God is very good. And through all the things that you have stood as partners with us, and we have stood as partners with you. You know, we went 40 years ago, we stood in front of you and told you that we were going to Japan. That's where God was taking us, to a place where I was born, where I had grown up. My parents were missionaries in Japan for 35 years, so I was there. But we're going to literally the end of the road. We're literally the end of the road, 10 feet of snow in the wintertime, to a camp and conference ministry. And God allowed us to see that flourish and to use us in what He's given us, and then to move into church planting and to move into other areas of seeing Japanese missionaries go out. And then Denise and I moving to Singapore, and we spent 9 years there. And traveling all over, overseeing for World Venture Asia, opening up 7 new countries, and seeing God put people there in new ministry, new people being touched. Denise reminds me, she keeps track of these things, but that in the 9 years we lived in Singapore, the longest stretch that we were in Singapore was 5 weeks before we traveled again. Usually it was less than that. And now our role is in... with World Venture is globally to oversee the strategy of what does God want to do, and where do we need to go, where does He want us to go. And so Denise has over a million, I have over a million, 1.5 million miles that we put on, except for COVID, of traveling and seeing what God is doing and seeing what God wants to do and trying to go there, and we continue to stand together. So I want to say on behalf of both of us, thank you very much. And we're not done yet. I'm not much of a math person or really a numbers person. They're interesting in their own way. But I want to give you 2 numbers this morning. Large numbers. One's followed by a lot of zeros, if you can follow that. The first number is 8 billion. Sometime last November, December, the world's population crossed that mark from the 7 billion whatever to 8 billion people on this planet. It's hard for me to get my mind around how much that is and how many people there are. When you travel, you see a lot of them, but you never see all of them. And 8 billion. And God loves every one of them. And God has a desire that they'd be reached out, and that's part of the role that we have is, God, what do you want to do here? God, what are you doing here? God, how can we do better for you? And developing strategies and such, and that's what we do, but there's another number that bothers me. The 8 billion doesn't really bother me, but this number does bother me. It's 3 billion. Because that's the number of the people in the world today that the statisticians will tell us. The number of people in the world today, 3 billion, who have never heard the name of Jesus. There's still work to be done. When you come into the World Venture offices, there is a sign there that says, there's 3 billion people that don't know Jesus, and we're not okay with that. And I don't think that any believer, whether it's in your neighborhood or whether it's around the world in places you've never been and will never see, you should not be, we should not be okay with that. But how does God want to get to that 2 billion and the 3 billion that have never heard His name? They have no privilege. They've never met a Christian. They've never seen a church. They have no idea what the Bible says, that there is hope and salvation for them. How do we get it there? And there's others who have heard, and we see them. But they haven't believed yet. And one of the things I do that keeps me challenged is every year in January, for my personal devotions, I go through the book of Acts every year, and I find something new. And that's where I want to land this morning, in the book of Acts. Chapter 15, if you have your copy of the scriptures with you, and it lands right after, kind of in between that period where Paul had come through what we call, if you look at it, the first missionary journey. He'd gone down through the island of Cyprus and then up through Turkey along the coast on the southern end and ended back up in Antioch. And it was exciting. And people who had never heard the name of Jesus before had heard and responded. And there were churches that were there. And they were excited about that. And then they ended up back in Antioch. And it said that they remained in verse 35 of chapter 15. It says, "But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, where they and many others taught and preached the word of the Lord." Antioch was a church. The church was still young. It was growing, but there was plenty of people to teach. And that's one of the things that we have done around the world, is going in and teaching. I spent about 4 years ago, just at the start of COVID, just before it, in Kyiv, Ukraine, teaching at a seminary there for a week. To encourage the church and challenge the church and those who were young and were looking at different things to go out in what they're going to do. And I understand that and the excitement of doing that. When we went to Japan, we thought that God would call us there and that we would be at that camp forever, to help and walk with them. And that was the thing. But then there's this little burden that comes on. In verse 36 of chapter 15, it says, "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they're doing.'" Just to be encouraged themselves, but really, let's go back and see how the church is doing. We started it, and there are places where we have traveled. We see that. In fact, I'm thinking of one country where when Denise and I went there, they were just getting started. In fact, there were no known believers in the area. But there was a small group that would meet, and so one of the things that they said to us is, "Well, when you're there, we'd like you to share something to these people, but they aren't believers." And generally I find that it's Old Testament is a good place to start with that. So I did share from that. And we sat on the floor, and there were five of us and the missionary and then Denise and I. And if I had known ahead of time what they were going to ask, I would have looked at it a little differently, maybe chosen a different passage. But one of the things that they said was, when I'd finished sharing from God's Word, they said, "Now in our culture, in our country, one of the things that we do is that after you've shared God's Word, you stand up and kind of illustrate it by dancing. Now, you don't want to see me dance, so that was a problem, but we did it." And you wonder then what's happening. You hear the news reports that are coming back, and you say, "Well, I wonder what some people are coming to Christ," and you want to go back, and we were back a year and a half ago. And on Sunday morning, on a morning like this, it wasn't five people who were no believers that were there. It was 20 people who were believers who were worshiping God. What an encouragement for us. Like Paul and Barnabas is saying, "I want to go back. I want to see what God's doing, and I want to encourage them." And so we have the second missionary journey. Now, I need to say a little something before we jump into this. I'm not a big numbers person. I do like maps. And for some of you, you may remember this, that when I was young, I still am young, but when I was little and my parents were missionaries and we'd travel around to all the different churches and we have to inevitably get gas in the car that we were driving, one of the things that I discovered here in the United States is that in those days, you could go into the gas station, never mind how much the price of gas was per gallon, but you could go in, and this was so great as a little guy. Next to the cash register, they had free maps of the states, sometimes cities. And they give them away. So I had, by the end of the time that my parents were back here when we were on home assignment, I had a little stack of maps in the back of the car that I would look at, you know, and I'd go into each gas station and say, "Oh no, I've got that state, and I got that state, and I got that state, and there's North Dakota, and I don't need that one, and there's other ones that are in there." But I love maps. And to look at that, so if, you know, and one of the interesting things, yes, Genesis to Revelation is great, but the, sometimes, I would spend some time in the back of the Bible. If you've got a Bible that has maps, and just look at the maps. They're just phenomenal. But I'd look at the maps. And I think looking at a map helps us get a little insight into what God is wanting to share with us. So, let's jump to Acts 16 and verse 6. And, well, actually up in verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. This is Paul has taken off from Antioch, and he's headed west through what we would know today as Turkey. And they've strengthened the churches. They did exactly what they were hoping to do. One, to encourage them. One, to see what God was doing, and he is doing things around the world today. We're seeing responses in places that we've never seen responses before. So verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now this is not China and India, Asia. This is what it's called in the southwest corner, essentially, of what is modern Turkey, Asia. And so you can imagine that they've headed west from Antioch, and they're starting to go through the different places where they had been, because on the first missionary journey, they came up from Cyprus, they bounced along the coast, and then they took a boat back, and they'd gone along some of the same areas, but now they're moving into brand new areas. Places where maybe people had heard a little bit, maybe they'd never heard anything, where there were Jewish populations. But the interesting thing is they're going through this region and you're looking at west, kind of like our interstate system. They're following one of the major roads, but they wanted to go into Asia. And the thing is that they were kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Why? We don't know. And sometimes when we want to go places, I remember I was invited to come into a conversation with an individual from a place where there are no known churches and no believers, and I flew up there and met with him, and it sounded exciting, but God did not let us go into that. And you have to ask yourself, God, why? Because these people need to hear about Jesus. The thing about Asia, at least Asia in this passage that you're looking at, is this was a place where there were a lot of major cities. This was a place where there were Jewish populations, which they normally did. When they first went into a city, Paul would often go there to start. And if you are familiar with the first part of Revelation, the book of Revelation, in this part where they were not allowed to go, in the first part of Revelation, there are seven churches that are mentioned. All of them are in this part where the Holy Spirit said, don't go. Seven churches. Eventually there would be churches there. There'd be growing, there'd be vibrant churches, there'd be churches with challenges. They were going to do it, but God was saying, not yet. And I think sometimes for us that's hard, but God, why? God, what about my neighbor? Why not yet? Why not my relatives? Why not this, God? Why not? God's saying, I've got a plan. And the thing that I learned from this is that Paul is saying, look, I don't understand it, because the way we normally do things, this is where I would go. This is what I would do. And this is where the towns and the cities, the major ones, the Ephesus, other ones that you're familiar with, are there. God, why can't we go? Not yet. And God, so Paul says, okay. In verse 7, when they came to the border of Mysia, which is now to the north, and they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Come on, God, what's going on? I'm following this road west, and there's all these people. God, you didn't want me to go to the south. Now I wanted to go to the north. And we read later on that there are churches in the north, in Mysia, and those areas that were there. And if you look at the map, it's kind of like they're being driven right in a direction, but no idea where they're going. And that is true for you, and that's true for us. God, I was in, like I said, in Ukraine before the war, and now God, it was going well. There are things doing there. We have missionaries who are there. There were other missionaries, and there's a response. And when I spoke in the seminary, it was young people, Ukrainian young people, who were planning and getting prepared to go out as missionaries and leave Ukraine and go all over the place. But now there's a war there. Why, God? What are you thinking? And there comes a point when we have to say, God, I know there's something here, but you're saying not yet. Why not? You may never know the answer to that. I don't always know the answer why there's in Ukraine, but I did do this. 2 weeks ago, I had lunch with one of our missionaries from Ukraine who had just been in the country and been traveling all over. And in that, he said, do you know that people who we've never been able to reach, people who were not interested in the gospel, people who were not asking the kind of questions that they need, are now asking the kind of questions that they need to ask, and people are coming to Jesus. I'm going, man, I don't get that, but I am happy for that. He said, there are other groups that are coming to us, World Venture, and saying, how can we help? You guys are doing something here. What can we do? Will you give us direction? And what do you want to do? And I'm going, well, that doesn't really make sense. But God, if this is what you want to do, if this is how you're going to spread the gospel in there, then we're going to follow you. In other places that we are at, there's a country in the world where you cannot go and you will not be able to get into and you will not be able to share the gospel because of all the situation that's going on there. But some of their people live here in the United States and we have some people that are reaching. I was there 2 weeks ago. They're reaching out to these people. You can't go to their country. When we started in this role about 10 years ago, we could get people into most any of the countries. Today there are 20 countries that we cannot send people into without some kind of special things. We don't even say their name in the office or when we're traveling of the country. But it's having to be unique, and the world is becoming that way more and more. And it isn't that God wants, they're going to put a wall up and God can't get over it. God's saying, hey, there's some other unique ways of doing it. And we're using unique people and unique things to get into these countries and to be able to share the gospel in ways that, and to see people respond. I can only think that Paul was wondering, God, what are you doing? And I don't know, have you ever thought that? God, what are you doing? And I've been sharing with this person, or my neighbor, or my relative, or whatever that, and it just seems, I can never get the comment. They don't want to listen. Well, I run into the same thing. But God has a plan. And He is doing something. And what I've been saying recently, in spite of the pictures, that as you get older, if you stick around long enough, you see God do stuff. I just got a report back at the end of last year from one of our missionaries. 17 years. The first ones in, Denise and I were there with them and all of that. 17 years, and these people share their faith. And for 17 years, they saw nothing. And last year, they saw the first person come to Jesus Christ. They didn't give up. Paul's moving west. God's saying, don't go to the south. Don't go to the north. Just keep following this road. I got a plan. Well, so they passed by Mysia. Actually, it meant by that they had to go through it. But they didn't stop. And they went down to Troas. Now they've gone all the way across Turkey, modern-day Turkey, and they're at the far western end at a major port in Troas. Now, Troas, you probably don't know it today, but in history, for some of you who like history, Trojan horse, wooden horse, you know, they hide inside and the whole thing, Helen of Troy. Homer's Iliad. Man, I'm getting really old here, but this is a lot of stuff from Greece. It was a well-known city, large, major exporter, major port. this is it. This must be what God wants. This is what God is showing me. And they're in Troas. In verse 9, it says, "And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" Okay, a couple things on this verse. Macedonia. They are in what we would call Asia today, Middle East, Turkey. And Macedonia is over just north of what is modern-day Greece. It's an area where they want to go. It's Europe. And Paul has a vision tonight, it says, of a man of Macedonia. Now, how did he know he was a Macedonian? Well, probably the way he looked, the way he talked, different things. But he was standing and begging him, "Please, come over to Macedonia and help us." I was in a university I was at with a group of students, graduate students, and they were believers, and one of them was from an area that had not been reached with a gospel. Actually, had a cult was there and had taken over the area where they were at. But this person and his wife were believers. And I remember the question they asked me. "How come you haven't come to help us? How come you haven't come to help us?" Now, that's unusual, because not everybody's saying, "Hey, show up here," or "Please come." The question, and my answer was, "Well, you hadn't asked yet." And working through that and asking, but it's like, come over. I mean, what could be clearer than having this at night where Paul had that, and he was saying, "Come and help us." A little spoiler alert here, and we'll get to this later. Paul never met the man in his vision, at least according to what's here. He never met the man. In fact, that's part of the story as we go on. So after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Paul never planned to go to Macedonia. He thought from Antioch, I would go west and we'd spend our time in what is modern-day Turkey. I wanted to go to Asia. I wanted to go to Mysia. I wanted to go to Bithynia. I wanted to go all those places. And now I'm heading across between Turkey and Greece. There's a lot of water there, so they have to get on a ship. And he says, we concluded that God was taken there. We concluded that God skipped us over all of these places and is taking us here. God, whatever you want. And sometimes it's a little humorous. I remember I was in West Africa, and I was with the missionary. We'd gone to church, and it was Sunday afternoon, and I get asked all kinds of weird questions. So he says, "Do you play tennis?" And I said, "Well, it's been a while, but yeah, I do play tennis." "Okay, good. Now, I'd only been up there. I didn't have anything." So he said, "Well, I meet with a Muslim doctor every..." And I'm trying to build a relationship, trying to share the gospel with him. And we play tennis Sunday afternoon or in the evening when it cools down because it's hot there. And would you come and play tennis with us? Well, if it takes tennis to reach out to someone else to be able to share the gospel, set that up, I'm willing to do that. Problem was, I didn't have any tennis clothes. So I had a shirt that was too big. I had pants that was too big. I had shoes that didn't fit me. And I didn't do very well in tennis that day. But... God, if this is how you want to reach him, tennis is the way. And I'm willing to help. God, if you want me to skip all these places going across what is modern-day Turkey, take a ship over to where I never thought I would be going, into Macedonia, I'm going to go. It's the willingness to say, God, whatever you want, and I don't understand it. But God, this is where you're taking me. So, from Troas, which is a major port, so it would be like a major airport hub or something, that we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace, which is an island in the middle on this. And And the next day to Neapolis. Now, one of the things, it took them 2 days to go from east to west. And you'll find later in the passage, not in this passage, but later on in the book, that when they sailed from Greece going the other way, west to east, it took them about 5 days. So the wind was with them. Everything was going well. Now, Neapolis is another port. And it really isn't the place where they wanted to go. We didn't think where they'd probably find the man of Macedonia. And so from there, they traveled to Philippi, which is about another 10 miles inland. One was a kind of a port, merchant city. The other one was, as it says, Philippi here is a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. Okay, and we stayed there several days. Now there's a reason for that. Luke didn't just, if the writer of this, didn't throw that in there for no reason. If you flip back over to chapter 14, there's a kind of a normal pattern for doing things. In the first verse of chapter 14, this is on their first missionary journey, at Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual to the Jewish synagogue. And there they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. Normally that what they would do is they'd go into a city, they would find out where the synagogue is, and they would, in that synagogue, that's where they'd meet on the Sabbath, Friday night at sundown till Saturday on sundown is the Sabbath, but they would meet there, and that's where everybody would come together, and they would begin to explain the scriptures, particularly to Jewish people. But it says here, it's interesting, they're in this, and we stayed there several days. I imagine they showed up in the city. Okay, Paul, what do we do now? Well, we got to find this guy. Well, what did he look like? Well, you know, it's just Macedonian you look like, I guess. Talk like that? I mean, I don't know. I tell you what, you go to the west part of the city, and you go to the north, and you go to the east, and you go to the south. I'm just going to stay here in the city square, whatever, and we'll try to find out, one, where this man might be, kind of look like this, but more importantly, what we usually do is we find a synagogue, and I'm assuming they showed up on a Tuesday or a Wednesday because they waited several days, and they're trying to find where's the man of Macedonia and where is the synagogue so that we can do what we normally do. God doesn't always work in normal ways. And I would guess this morning, if we were to ask you, how did you come to faith in Jesus Christ? How did you first hear about it? There would be all different kinds of ways of hearing about that. Of how you heard about Jesus and how you believed and how the Holy Spirit worked in your life. All that. But we as missionaries have normal patterns. Whatever you think a missionary does, they do that and they do more. Sometimes we have hospitals. Sometimes we use schools. Sometimes we're just in a church planning where Denise and I were doing that. It's in a neighborhood and we're trying to get people to come into certain events, maybe teaching English classes or whatever it is. Sometimes it's business that people are operating and through the business they get to know people. Sometimes it's education. Sometimes it's agriculture. There's all different kinds of ways. But Paul and Barnabas kind of had a way that God had said, this works. So they're there for several days. Now, let me tell you something else about a synagogue. In order for a synagogue to exist, in the Jewish tradition, you have to have at least 10 men. Okay, so if you don't have 10 men, you don't have a synagogue. You've got to have something else. We'll get to that. But if you have 10 men or more, then you can establish a synagogue. It doesn't matter how many women you have. It has to be 10 men. That's the way they did it. So we stayed there for several days, and they went all over the place. And I'll jump ahead a little bit here. They never found a synagogue. And what that means is that in this city of Philippi, there weren't even 10 Jewish men. We can't operate like we normally do. First of all, God took me, I wanted to go here, and I wanted to go there. God said, no, keep going this way. Then I got this vision to come over here to Macedonia, and I can't find what I'm supposed to find, and I can't operate like I normally do. Well, what I've learned in missions is that God is not stuck in one style or one approach. And what he's done, it is amazing for us. It's a privilege to be able to go around the world and to see what God is doing as he, how did this church start? Or how did this outreach start? Well, it started this way, or it started that way. It's amazing what God does. So verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We stopped there. In the event that there is no synagogue, in the event that there are not 10 men where you can put a synagogue together, what the Jewish people would do, or at least those who would worship God, would do is they would find some place, usually close to a river or a water source, that they would go and there would be, at least they would get together and pray. But even there, after spending several days in the city, it says, were we expected to find a place, but we weren't absolutely sure, and they're outside the city. If you go to Philippi, or where it is today, there is one that a river that's quite a ways outside the city, and they wouldn't have done that because on the Sabbath they could only travel so far, according to Jewish tradition. So it had to be someplace closer, but there was water there, and there's a small river, and there is. And we sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. First of all, there was no man of Macedonia that was there. And it was an entire group of women. God saying, you know what? I can work this any way I want. And for a Paul, for a Jewish man, to just have women was something that he had never done before. But God said, this time I'm doing something different. And then it said, one of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message, and when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. And if you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. We don't know how many other women responded to what Paul and his companions were teaching that day at a place of prayer, not a synagogue. But we know one, Lydia. Now, it doesn't always tell us in Scripture about people, but the interesting thing, okay, Lydia, probably not Jewish from the name, but could have been a believer, probably was a believer in God, as it says here, a worshiper of God. The interesting thing is, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira. Now, Thyatira is a city that was known for its purple dye. And probably it comes from a little snail that grew up there, or a little kind of thing that they got, the special dye that they could put in. And this was a special color, and purple cloth was a very special thing, and she specialized in it. But she was not from Philippi, she was from Thyatira. Do you know where Thyatira is? We're back to maps. It's in the province of Asia where Paul could not go. If you look on the map and you can check me out later, it's there. Now, again, I'm not a math person. I do remember something from, I think it's geometry. Help me out here. The shortest distance between two points is? A straight line. Okay. The shortest distance for getting to Thyatira, the way Paul went, was not a straight line. It went across up to Troas. We bypassed Thyatira. We got on a boat. We went over to Neapolis. Then we went up to Philippi. And then we met someone who actually is a follower of God, but then believed on what the message about what Jesus had done for her. And then, we don't know, but we guess there's a church in Thyatira, that she had connections that were there. God, I wanted you to follow me. I wanted you to trust me. We'll get back to Asia. Yeah, you'll get to Ephesus eventually. Yeah, there'll be a church up in Mysia and all that. But right now, I need you to go to Troas. So you're going to go on a boat and go over here and meet someone who you don't expect in a normal way that it is. And then they're going to have connections to Thyatira, where you wanted to go to start with. I see that all the time. Yeah, but we want to go here, and then it's not going to open up here, but then we met someone. Actually, when I look at the history of World Venture and look at that, how some of the original countries that we went into, how we went into those, it wasn't a deep strategy or a plan. It was like one of the guys was in an airport meeting, and he sat down next to a person who said, I was in this country, and I'm going to be leaving soon, but I need another mission to start this up, and today we have over 100 churches there. So would you take it, please? What? And the challenge I have, and I think the challenge of missions is that those 3 billion people who've never even heard the name of Jesus, let alone the ones who have heard but haven't responded, God does love them and God does want to reach out to them. But he might surprise it. It might be one of you. And I know some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, here it goes. This is a missionary. He's going to ask me to go to the end of the road in some dark jungle, and I'm going to have to be. No, well, I might, but that might be how God wants to work. It might be what he wants to do here in Cedar Rapids. You know, those 3 billion people who have never heard the name of Jesus, I'm finding, as much as you think otherwise, there are people in the United States who have never, they've heard the name of Jesus, they have no clue what it means. They've seen churches, they have no clue what happens here on Sunday morning. They're here. There are people that are moving into the United States from Africa, from Asia, from Europe, from all over the Americas, and it may be that God said, I brought them here for no other reason so that they could hear the name of my son, Jesus, and could understand what's there and could accept the message I want for them. And I've got you as that. We travel all over the world looking for those kind of things and developing those things and looking at it. And sometimes it just goes really good. And then sometimes, like in Ukraine and Russia, there's a war going on and going, God, what's going on? But God is always moving. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge for me to say, God, I feel like Paul going from Antioch. I never thought I'd end up in Philippi. I mean, I've heard of it, but I've never met anybody from there. But God, you're going to take me here and say, don't go here and don't go there and all that. And then, wow, something happens. That's what we do. We're developing strategy for how to reach 3 billion people because we're not okay with that. And I guess the question I would have for you this morning is, are you okay with that? And if not, what are you going to do about it? It doesn't mean you have to get on an airplane and go someplace for the rest of your life. But what are you going to do about it? Because I don't know how we can realize what's happening in the world today. Whether it's our neighbor, our relatives, or someone far away across some ocean, someplace there, and realize that they don't know Jesus. And how we can be okay with it. Paul wasn't okay with it, and that's why he kept going, God, I don't understand it, but I'm not going south when I want to go south. I'm not going north when I want to go north. I wasn't planning on getting on a boat, but I'm getting on a boat. I'm not planning to go here. I was expecting to find a synagogue. It's not a synagogue. It's a group of women that meet outside the city, and I hope the weather's good and all of the things that go along with that. God's saying, yeah, but that's going to be the contact that's going to go over here. I don't know what God wants to do through you. Except that I know that he does want to do something through you. Denise and I have gone from literally the end of the road in Japan, northern Japan. We stood in front of you 40 years ago, said that's where we're going, and he's got us here. And I never anticipated in my wildest of dreams that's where I would be, right here. But God said, don't go south, don't go north. Yep, be here for a while. We're over 20 years in Japan. And then Singapore and travel all over. I got something for you to do. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't Denise's plan. But this is where God's taken us. And my question for you this morning is, well, let me say before that, thank you. Thank you for standing with us while we are following God wherever he's leading. But here's my question for you. Where's he taking you? Where's he taking you? And what's he want to do? It's an adventure, no doubt. I don't fly 1.5 million miles plus just for the airline food, okay? It's when I get off and what God wants to do. It may not be the same adventure for you, but God's got something for you. Are you willing to follow him? Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you that you love each one of us, and God, that we have heard the name of your Son, and we have responded to that. And God, you've done so much for us, and we deserve nothing. But God, I can only imagine that your heart aches for those 3 billion who've never heard the name of Jesus. I can only imagine that your heart aches for the people who have and haven't responded. And God, what do you want us to do? Where have you placed us? What have you given us in terms of gifts? God, may we be willing to do that. Whether it's at the end of the road in some jungle, or whether it's in some other modern city, or some place right where we're living and where you've had us for the last umpteen number of years. God, give us the privilege of serving you, even in a way that we never anticipated. In your name I pray.